such a problem with the visa. Wait, which one do you have there? Is that just the lemonade? The Vigor? Okay.
I think you can have a Vigor.
Because the will is set aside for me.
No, for me.
No, I don't think so.
You need the 180 calories more than I do.
We'll talk about it later. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You got the crazy eyes. You got what Dave Navarro would call crazy, possessed by the music eyes.
I've got a long drive ahead of me.
And sure, you get to go to exciting Bremerton this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I'll be the bigger man. You can have the visa. Well, are they all gone?
Yes.
Tell me they're not gone, all the visa that Max guy brought us today. By the way, there's not a backhanded way of asking for more. That would be pathetic. I'm really honestly not doing that, but I'm saying it was literally like an hour ago that guy brought us like a bag full of visa. Are you telling me that they're actually now all spoken for?
I think so.
God damn, we suck. Rick,
I think some may have been hidden.
Rick, this email is not unlike, just like Jennifer Connelly in Requiem for a Dream, just like shoving it inside an orifice somewhere just to keep it safe. Don't look at me! Totally. The end, I'm just digging a ditch in Alabama somewhere while a guard beats me. Okay. Hello. Do me a favor, this email says. Ask if anyone is looking for an employee to do little or no work while your radio show is on. All I want to be able to do is listen and do my job.
We've had people working here during previous shows.
I was going to say,
that job description.
Yeah, Intercom might be a good place for you to apply, sir. Sounds like
keep your job forever there.
It's a golden match.
Yeah. You'll be
and
promoted.
You'll get promoted.
You'll get promoted every 6 months, whether you really need it or not. I was speaking theoretically, of course.
Uh-huh.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I heard you talking. See, as much as you were making fun of this, Sarah, I got to tell you, all this email continues to come in.
No, I know that it's a fascinating topic because everyone has their stories, just like about 80s toys or talking about He-Man or anything like that. Like, everyone has a comment on it.
I'm just saying, it's not just the cereal thing. It's the poor food, too. Rick, don't forget Shasta. Metallic sweetness. Totally. Shasta, do they still make Shasta soda even?
Yes, mm-hmm. They do.
God, where it's just like, really, it's like everything does have that, it's sort of like with the Chinese fortune cookie and the da-da-da-da in bed. With Shasta, it's always like da-da-da-da and tin, because that's what, you know, or aluminum, because that's what everything tastes like. What is it, scrape and aluminum? Let's see, I should probably get a couple of these. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick, how you doing?
I'm okay. What's up, brother?
Hey, a couple quick things. One,
about cereal? That would be the best. If it's
about cereal,
and then something based in 1982, that would be perfect right
Ooh,
now.
Something based in 1982. Well, hey, that's got to be the Mighty Van Halen.
Okay. Well, that didn't really work out the way I was hoping. What do you got, brother?
Okay, two things. One for you. The bone that cracks the loudest when it breaks is, of course, the largest bone in the body. That's the femur.
Femur, I barely knew her. It's obligatory. Because yesterday the woman drove over her husband and it made a loud cracking sound.
Heard a loud crunch.
And we couldn't
might have been his femur.
We couldn't figure out what bone it was. And the femur is, that's your thigh?
Yeah, that's the bone between the knee and the hip.
Bone between the knee and the hip. Okay, so it's like, So that cracks pretty loud, does it?
Oh, that's a big one.
Depending on how fast you drive it.
How do you know this?
I actually have a friend who just broke his femur.
And were you there?
No, I wasn't, but just to hear about it was enough. And in fact, he lives, Sarah, this is the other part of this, he lives in Gig Harbor. So, Sarah, when you leave today, just anticipate that there's going to be heavy traffic going over that bridge.
To Gig Harbor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always get stuck on the Tacoma Narrows for hours. I found a shortcut, though, through town, so I'll hopefully try and take that.
Oh, through Tacoma?
Yeah.
The Valley of the Ashes.
Is this some
You remember that
show?
F. Scott Fitzgerald book, The Great Gatsby?
No, Rick, do you know?
What?
Rick.
Well, The Valley of the Ashes in The Great Gatsby.
No, we're losing your phone, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
You're such a jerk, Rick.
See? If it's perfectly executed, no one knows. What does that look for?
No, I didn't want to hear about the Tacoma Narrows. I know I'm going to be stuck there for hours.
Oh, no, it's, well, whether
it's
you want to
be
or
terrible.
Not. Yeah, no, it's going to suck.
I know.
That's
it's
why
people... It's going to be a terrible trip.
When people... Every moment, a living, breathing hell on earth. No, that's why people complain about Portland traffic. I hate to be that guy, but I go, you don't know from bad... Because if you spend any time in Seattle, or L.A., of course, which is the gold standard...
Or drive on the 26th, the Sunset Freeway to the west side.
I mean, there are places in this world where the traffic is so unbelievably, terribly bad.
Well, it's the worst of both worlds, because not only do I have to battle bad traffic, when I get there, I have to go to a funeral. So it's like, ooh.
It's actually, it's not a funeral.
It's a memorial.
It's a memorial.
It's a celebration of somebody's life.
Yes.
You could work in management.
I could.
That's really, he's going to be, this is, yeah, and then to practice, say he's pursuing exciting new endeavors, not your friend.
He's pursuing exciting new endeavors.
See, there you go. Now you need to learn, you know, just have that as a memo, like a template, just sitting there ready to fire out every couple of days. So, all right, let's see, we'll get Frank and Ken, then we'll do the news, then we'll have Scott Daly. Frank, hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Yesterday, you guys were talking about Rip Torn and Rip Taylor.
This has become sort of an unofficial open line Friday thing. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And, well, Rip Taylor does a liner for you guys' station. He does a liner for the comedy station.
Really? Is that true?
Yes, he does.
If you in the all-comedy radio segment, there's a Rip Taylor?
A liner for it.
I never listened to that segment.
And then I'm surprised that nobody had mentioned that, you know, your geeks out there and didn't mention that Rip Torn was in the original Beastmaster movie.
You know who did mention this was Dean Snyder, who's a general sales manager. He mentioned yesterday, he sent me an email. He sent me an email. He's like, he was in Beastmaster, dude, which is so great that anybody would reference that. It's so fantastic. So, no, well done, and congratulations to you, sir, on knowing that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. It's over.
Well, there's no prize involved.
He's not going to win any. He's not going to win any Alan Jackson tickets for that. So I only get an eh. All right, thank you. Do one more. Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Oh, you know what's?
Red Ford was also Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball.
And which of them was on? Which of them was on Sigmund the Sea Monster?
I remember Phyllis Diller. That's about it.
Oh God! Here we go back to Phyllis Diller. It's like some sort of hideous loop. This is like a snake eating its tail. This whole conversation.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, this whole show is just going to be like an autistic boy's daydream inside a snow globe. All right. What do you got?
The reason I called you, when I was in college, my mom would bring me all sorts of horrible food over. You know, she'd go shopping for me and my roommates. And one night, in a drunken stupor, we decided to start eating this crackling oat bran. That's got to be the most evil cereal ever. We ate the entire box in one sitting.
Crackling oat bran is the stuff that looks like cat food, is it not?
Yes, and it's really hard.
Little brown squares, and then it's got little...
chunky brown squares.
And I tell you, the next day was miserable. It was like letting go of a gym rope in class. That gym rope used to have to climb in middle school.
Oh.
It was like passing one of those. It was horrible.
Oh, that's an unpleasant phrase.
Those really do clean out the system, though.
It is a good cleansing of the colon. I know the food you're talking about, though, because it is. It's a small sort of square, but it's not a perfect square. It's got like a little indentation in the middle of it, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
You have to bring over the processed, instead of the real, craft, you bring us this processed cheese food, which is...
Cheese food, cheese with cheese with a Z.
It's supposed to look like cheese.
Any food with a Z and a hyphen in it. Maybe it's got both. That's something that's, as Tim said, it's just made by Union Carbide. That's something that's made by the Dalcon Chemical Company. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, well, back to driving. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, brother. All right, there you go. I will read this email, then we'll do Tim. Mailman Chris says about the mailman comment, I take offense to that email about mailmen. If I wasn't on my break smoking a cigarette in the shade, I would call in to complain. Thank you. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tim Riley at the city desk. Thank you.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hello, comrades. Well, for some reason, I have a bevy of Florida stories here.
A bevy of stories from where?
Florida, the Sunshine State.
Yeah!
I was playing that.
You're not allowed to rent here anymore. What?
That was me.
That was me.
I just played that.
That was me.
Okay, we don't need to overdo it.
That's what I'm saying. That was me. Pure Rick.
Well, it seems that the co-owner of a Boynton Beach landscaping business is dead after being buried in mulch. The sheriff's office identified the victim as 43-year-old James Ross, who was working on his company's property. Lieutenant Ronaldo Silver gives an account of the accident.
Lieutenant Ronaldo Silver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was working with a backhoe tractor, and he was in the process of transferring part of the pile to another pile when it appears that, part of the pile from the top end fell on him.
Oh.
Buried in mulch.
Meanwhile, slimy heaps of Vaseline-like substance that prompted the beach closure of Manatee County beaches turned out to be harmless. Researchers identify the substance as... Oh, my goodness. I'm not even going to try this. But it's a goo-like substance.
A goo-like substance.
It's considered harmless to swimmers.
Does it really say goo-like substance?
It does, yes.
Here's why that's perplexing. Because when they say a goo-like substance, that implies that there is some scientific definition of goo, which this does not actually meet the stringent standards of. It's kind of like goo. It's not really goo, though. It's sort of like, what is this? Well, it's a chocolate-like substance.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's a chocolate-like substance because chocolate is a known thing. Carob is like chocolate. It's not really chocolate. It's a chocolate-like substance. What are the properties of a goo-like substance? What does goo have that this substance does not have?
Apparently.
I'm doing one of those things that nobody cares about, aren't I?
Now, let's go back to the 80s cereals, Fight Back.
I was being very short-tempered about my whimsical observations today. I remember a time when you found me funny.
Whimsical? His cereal is whimsical?
Well, a winter park Florida woman
That was me.
Said she won't get her kids rabies shots, even though the Orange County Health Department insists on it. Now the health department has contacted the Division of Children and Families. Apparently, there was a report of a bat infestation inside her home. Deborah St. Charles recalls...
Bat infestation in your home.
She recalls the night her son tried to protect the family from a bat that was flying frantically around the apartment in the Meadow subsidized housing project. They were all terrified. The bats never bit them or scratched them, despite urgings of the health department. She didn't want her family to get the precautionary bat rabies shot.
No, why would you?
Rabies are almost always fatal, said this fellow named Toth, who works at the health department.
Said a demon from the seventh layer of hell.
Mr. Toth said, still, that isn't swaying this woman who said she will... Toth, yes.
There is no reason to be afraid of rabies.
Toth's comment, she says, what rights do I have? This is my child. I birthed these children, carry them through 9 months.
I birthed these children.
And now it's time for a Florida religious nutcase walk.
But let's back up for... Hold on. Let's back up for just a second. Back to Toth for just a minute.
Yes. Mr. Toth of the health department.
Thank you.
Mr. Toth. Just picturing just some huge guy with horns and like a power tie. Hello? I'm here to, and just like with several smaller imp-like demons
now
hovering over his shoulder.
He's concerned about the bat problem.
Well, who wouldn't be? So the deal with rabies, is it true?
If the bats get stuck in your hair.
See, I could go a whole different way with the bat thing in your home, and it would take me right down the, whole course, the Warner Brothers If you get rabies, though, isn't it true you have to get like 100 shots in your stomach or something with a needle that's like a foot long?
At least 2 feet long.
Or is that one of those urban legends that you hear when you're a kid? When I was a kid, I heard if you got rabies, that they gave you shots in the stomach.
Yes.
And you had to get like 25 of them. And it was with a needle that was like 6 inches thick.
Yes.
Or 6 inches long.
Mm-hmm. For several months.
Is it true?
No. It is not true.
I've lost track. Are you happy, Dan? Dan, now that we've completely erased any line between news and opinion. Sarah's look. Here's the look on Sarah's face right now.
Talk about cereal.
If this was a Photoshop contest, the look on Sarah's face would be captioned counting the minutes.
Before I get the leave for Bremerton.
Yes, here's Tim Riley.
So this is the Florida Religious Nutcase Watch.
Excellent. Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch for Friday.
In a lengthy interview with a Florida Baptist Witness, apparently a popular newspaper down there. A U.S. Senate candidate, Catherine Harris, asserts, among other things, that the separation between church and state is a fallacy. We have to have the faithful in government, and over time, he says, the lie that we've been told that there is a separation of church and state is a lie. People have internalized, thinking they need to avoid policies that are so wrong because God is the one who chooses our rulers. On stem cell research, he said, I am the only candidate in the primary in general who has voted against stem cell research and has voted to, on the record, against the blood research and adult stem cell research.
Do you have any idea what the story's about?
This is about Catherine, what's her name? Harris.
It's not about Toth.
No, it isn't.
Can I vote for Toth?
You could, yes.
I just want to get a vote for Toth. Like a vote for Toth, vote for, you know, that which cannot be named. Vote for, help me, somebody. Cthulhu.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, I got nothing.
Jumping along to the next Florida story.
I'm sorry.
A surgeon on the Suwannee River.
Is this a song?
Yes, it is.
Do you have to sing this story?
It is. Injured two boaters when it leaked from the water.
A surgeon?
Oh, I'm sorry. A sturgeon.
Okay.
It is getting late. Maybe I should go to Bremerton.
A surgeon when he leapt from the water. I'm just picturing the guy. I'm picturing the guy with the headband and that shiny metal thing on his forehead that he'd like to reflect the light.
Pointing at a chart.
Totally. Holding a pointer in one hand and like a skull in the other, just leaping out of the water. Completely dry for some reason, though.
A sturgeon on the Suwannee River injured two boaters when it leaped from the water, knocking a girl from the boat and breaking the arm of another passenger. I saw this vessel operated by Scott Lockwood of Lake City coming toward me about 30 miles an hour. I watched as the fish jumped out of the water and heard the impact when it hit. The child was knocked out of the boat and into the water. The fish is estimated to be 4.5 feet long. Boaters have been seriously injured when hit by these fish. This is the sixth reported sturgeon strike this summer. We want to make the public aware that sturgeons on the Suwannee do jump. We recommend boaters reduce their speed and reduce the risk of hitting these sturgeons.
It was funnier when it was sturgeons. Well, what can you do? Let's do one more here.
All right.
Was that the end?
Of what?
Did we already end the religious nutcase?
Well, like an hour ago.
I haven't played it.
Well, we can play it next week.
It'll come up again. What's gone wrong in the last few minutes here?
I don't know.
You know, I've been sick for the last couple of days, but you know what? We've held it together. As Bowfinger would say, I've done a good job of keeping it together. And then about 20 minutes ago, things just started. The portrait in the attic is no longer keeping us young. And suddenly we've all gone to hell. All right.
A grocery store is accused of selling bad meat. Well, isn't that good?
Oh, this is a great story, by the way. I pre-read this
very
morning.
Excited about
this
it.
Story about just the phrase bad meat is all kinds of good.
Well, just working with him, I eat less meat.
This comes just from Kansas City, Missouri, God's country. The owners of a local grocery store were indicted for allegedly selling dirty meat to customers.
Not just bad meat, but dirty meat. Dirty bad meat. Dirty. Okay. It's one of those things that Piper Laurie yells at you about.
This happened at the Queen's Market on Independence Avenue.
Put away your dirty meat, Harry.
It claimed the owners of Queen's conspired with Edison Enterprises to sell thousands of pounds of adulterated meat.
Adulterated meat.
That was unfit for human consumption.
Oh, gross.
Adulterated meat sounds like there's a guy back there just hitching up his pants when you walk in.
The indictment also alleged that the meat was labeled as having passed federal regulations, but that the meat never actually was inspected.
Just sort of brought it in the back door.
This is more than 9,000 pounds of meat.
Dirty meat.
Not inspected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Offered for sale from late November 2002 through March 2003.
For 4 months. Offered for sale for... So the meat is... It's tainted, dirty, and adulterated, and on the shelves for 120 days in Queens.
The meat included inedible pork lungs that were mislabeled as pork livers.
Pork
you hear
lungs.
That? They're carnivores.
Pork lungs. Hold on. I'm going to stop. Inedible pork lungs.
That were mislabeled as pork livers.
First of all, wouldn't we all know a lung if we saw one? You would think.
People who eat such things don't care.
That is true. Secondly, not to turn this into another bad food conversation, but first of all, if you're eating liver, really, it's just everything else is just, it's just degrees of bad after
that. It smells horrible.
It is. Liver's the worst food, and I don't want to turn this into a whole I like liver, I don't like liver. I'm just saying it's a horrible food.
Of all the things to eat in the world, why must you eat something liver?
I really don't. Even if you're a meat eater, which I am.
Or French.
I don't understand that. But inedible pork lungs, and the question to me really is, are these pork lungs that were inedible, in other words, are they edible? Is this a thing that people typically eat and this is just what's a dirty batch?
You're asking the wrong person.
I guess I am asking the wrong person. I just wonder if that's like a thing that, like, you, there are people who eat that, but this was like an adulterated batch.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think you usually eat lungs.
Why would you eat a liver? Why would you eat feet? Why would you eat pig's feet? Let me ask you that. People do.
My mom did.
My dad did. I think people born in the 1930s.
Yes, they're called hicks.
Learned to eat weird things.
Yeah, no, my mom is.
And even though they had a little money afterwards, they continued to eat like peasants.
That is.
Basically, it's
commoners. Okay. Back in prep school, we knew what to do with such people. No, well, that's like me. It's not actually not at all like me. But, you know, now that I have, you know, now that I can afford not to eat Kraft macaroni for every dinner, I still sort of do sometimes. My mom, man, once my mom was no longer, you know, some dirt poor woman living in a clapboard house, she was still eating pig's knuckles. You know why? Hick. That's just the way it is. And I say that with love. I love my mother, but she's a complete and total hick through and through. There's just no getting away from that. All right, well...
This meat came from the Kingsville Hog Market.
Okay.
I have nothing left here.
Just this email that says... This email specially constructed for Sarah Dillon. Rick, I drive 1,000 miles a week, all of it in heavy, heavy, heavy traffic between here and Tacoma. To kill time, I eat blueberry cereal and remember the good old days of 1982. There you go. That's Andy. Let's break, shall we? We'll come back with Scott Daly, who's going to talk to us about Beer Fest and so forth. We'll get some of these emails as well. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this. You stay right there.
All right now.
All right. 503-733-2970. I've got his feed here. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. FilmFeverRadio.com, our good friend Scott Daly. How are you, sir?
You know, I love Tim Riley, but whenever I plug into his headphones after he's gone, my ears explode.
There is like a whole readjustment that anybody has to do there, because you got to bring the microphone way up high from where it's been. You got to turn the microphone way down, or the headphones way down low.
So, right. Other than blowing my eardrums, I'm well. How are you, sir?
I am fine.
You sound a little better today.
As I said, I think I've turned a corner, but I'm going to go home and not talk for like a day and a half.
Like, great plan.
I'm just read a couple of these emails, then we'll talk about Storm's feet.
Excellent.
And then we'll talk about Beer Fest.
Fantastic.
Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com is here. This email says, Rick, I don't know if you listened to the Don and Mike show last night, but I thought I'd let you know a bit of the Emerson show was duplicated on national airwaves. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Don and Mike copied you, but they did have Super Dave go out in the street with a bullhorn and a sandwich board to ask Jews, quote, if they would honk to forgive Mel.
I heard that.
Honk if they forgive Mel. It's the radio. It's Rick Emerson. It's Emersonic. Anyway, let's see. How about this? Rick, I was watching Rockstar the other night, and sometimes Delana looks just haggard to me, so I decided to check her date of birth. Does anybody know how old Delana is?
I think she's like 35,
Sarah?
34.
Isn't she 31?
I was shocked to find out she is 30. I would have guessed her to be 45. I am 39, and I don't look like that. Hellstorm is 37 and is gorgeous, but Delana, we need to nominate her for Extreme Makeover. I am a silent listener from way back in the KOTK days when Comcast was AT&T broadband and my paycheck was more than minimum wage. Now I work for DirecTV for chump change, but at least I get to drive around all day and tune into your show. I love Sarah X. Dillon as well. I miss seeing her do traffic in the morning, though. I'm now left with nothing to ogle. And this is a woman, by the way. I'm left with nothing to ogle in the morning as I sip my coffee and get myself going. Such is life. Hear you Monday. So that's Angela. So there you go. Scott Daly, before we talk about Beer Fest,
yes.
You have not seen How to Eat Fried Worms, have you?
No, there was a screening last week, like occasionally from the family films. They do like a 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning screening.
Right. You don't need to screen a family film, though. No, it's like really a built-in audience.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
How to Eat Fried Worms. I mean, who hasn't read that as a kid?
I'm a big fan of family films and if they're done well, especially if... Because, you know, it's hard to do... Like, a kid's book is hard to do. People knock
it really
but they're hard to... A good children's book is hard to write, which is why the classics always stand out. And so whenever there's a movie adaptation of a book that I loved as a child, I always go see it. And, you know, there's been a good string of them lately. I mean, over the last decade or so. I remember seeing the Harry the Spy movie, which was very good.
Yeah. Matilda.
Matilda. James and the Giant Peach had its moments.
Speaking of James and the
Charlie
Giant Peach.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was fantastic.
Today is Tim Burton's birthday.
Is it?
It is.
Great. No. I dig that guy. I was just watching Charlie and the Chocolate Factory the other day. The Indian in the Cupboard, which was had a great movie adaptation.
Which is great because, very funny, he said that we just got that from my son for Netflix.
The movie?
And he loves it.
Has he
Indian
read the
in
book?
The Cupboard. Well, he's four, so now he's
Have you read the book to him?
No, not yet, but we're going to.
There's a whole series that...
He loves the movie.
Lynn Reed Banks, there's like five Indian in the Cupboard books now, and it's real easy for those books to get, for a series like that to get watered down or whatever, but they're all really good, the Indian in the Cupboard series, and that movie is a great adaptation, too. How to Eat Fried Worms is a classic. I read that when I was a kid, so I will probably go see that, as strange as it sounds. Before we talk about Beer Fest, let's talk about Storm's feet for a moment.
Yes, shall we?
Talk about Foot Fest.
I don't think we need to make this a watch, because it's just a couple lines.
Because it's just weird.
And it's creepy.
I only know this.
Attention, Davey.
Because...
Oh, Davey commented on this board, actually.
Oh, did he?
Uh-huh.
Well, because there was this sort of this running gag on the show that I had a foot fetish, blah, 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 blah. And so, as a result, even now, after all this time, people still send me, you know, foot stories. Rick.
Yeah, it's a gag.
Check out the... Check out... What do you better size? 10.5. Wyoming on the run. Check out the Storm Large and the Balls site. There's a thread called Storm's Feet. It is pretty funny. Awesome show later. That's Shadows of the Stewards. So would you like to read a couple of the choice postings?
Yes, because then they get really graphic.
They're very
entertaining. You can only read a couple of them.
How could it? Never mind.
Yeah, you
don't want to know.
You don't want to
know. I don't want to know.
All right, so the first posting by Vassar says that not only is Storm one of the sexiest women on the planet, but I've seen her in person before, and she has the sexiest, most delicious feet ever.
Delicious!
Good
See,
luck,
why
Storm.
Do they have to say delicious? See, I am not a guy... to me, I guess I can spot when feet are really hideous, like Paris Hilton. Uh-huh. Paris Hilton is hideous. She has big duck feet, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. They're huge.
Seriously, they're like huge plant leaves, you know, that spread off. They're like a palm leaf or something.
Are they webbed? Does she have webbed feet?
They could be.
Oh.
They're huge and ugly.
Yeah.
Unless a foot is really ugly, I guess I don't really know how to... I guess I don't know what a pair of sexy feet looks like. Is it...
Okay, let's not even have this conversation.
I'm curious about it. You know that I'm curious about it.
You know what? There probably isn't a difference between one foot or the other unless you have the fetish, which means you know what you're looking for.
All right. It's all very curious. But anyway, but it's that he can't leave it at, like, attractive. He has to say that her feet are delicious. All right. Do you have another one? What's the follow-up?
Oh, Vassar, I agree. I would suck her toes for days.
It's this oogly.
Scott Daly is noting that, Scotty J is actually noting that it's a, that whoever said this has a fetish.
As opposed to a...
Fetish. It's a fetish. That is pretty funny,
that
actually.
That requires the obligatory...
That actually meant, thank you, with go. The, and, oh, is my computer up there? Yeah, that absolutely requires the,
There you go.
I can't read anymore, it's making me feel icky.
A fetish. We'll get these calls later. Scott Daly, Beer Fest.
Beer Fest opens today. Beer Fest is the latest film by the comedy troupe known as Broken Lizard.
Now, is that the same group of guys all the time, or is it just different guys but one production company?
Same group of guys.
Okay.
And they kind of like a National Lampoon thing, except they're the same group of guys. A couple years ago, they did Super Troopers, and then a few years, I think a year or two ago, they did a film,
Danger Island or whatever the hell.
Club Dread.
Club Dread.
And now we get Beer Fest, which you know, like...
The promo made me laugh. The trailer, which I think we saw at Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
The trailer, Clerks 2, the trailer made me laugh out loud. It really did.
Yeah, it's a funny movie. You know, it is what it is. It's about a beer fest. Two brothers whose grandfather, who's played by Donald Sutherland, passes away. And on his video will, he has a big stein of beer. And he says, I want you to go spread my ashes in Germany over the beer fest. And so, you know, they go take his ashes and discover an underground beer festival, kind of Fight Club type deal. And they, you know, have to make America proud and be a beer fest, a beer drinking team.
Excellent.
You know, and every stereotype is there. The Germans, the
Swedes. This totally sounds like a Budweiser, like, here's to you, Mr. Beer Fest drinking guy.
Exactly. And the whole film is them prepping. It's a year of them prepping for beer fest, drinking.
The whole thing is one big training montage.
Quarters, and it's exactly. It's a lot of fun. And damn, that movie wasn't over, I didn't want a nice cold beer.
Excellent.
So, yeah, and actually, it's a funny story. We Film Fever Radio got an opportunity to interview Steve, Lemmy, and Eric, two guys from Broken Lizard. They were here during the Brewfest. And so Warner Brothers contacted us, said, hey, here's a screening of the film. You can interview the two guys afterwards. We couldn't make the screening, and so I said, well, I'd like to, but I can't get to the screening. They said, well, how about we set up a private screening for you at the Heathman Hotel, and then we'll take you down to the Brewfest.
Very cool.
Like, yeah, okay. Well, it's on this week's episode of Film Fever Radio is the whole sordid story. But we saw the film on this little $50 AudioVox DVD player.
Yeah. Genius. Like the kind they rent you at the airport for like $1.99.
Exactly. And it was just an awful viewing of the film. But the film was fun. You know, it's a really good time. And then we got to go down and meet two of the guys from Broken Lizard. And I had no idea they had such a fan base.
Oh, yeah. No, they've got a huge
Lord,
cult following.
Crazy.
It's true.
And
I know a lot of guys who were really into that Super Troopers film.
Yeah. I was telling the guys, as we were talking to them, I said, look, I said, you know, I got to be honest, I hadn't seen Super Troopers or Club Dread yet, so I went this weekend to the Blockbuster and rented them, and Super Troopers was checked out. And they said, but don't tell me Club Dread was there. They had plenty of copies of Club Dread.
Yeah, that seems terrible.
It was awful.
That looked like an awful film.
But they admitted it, and they're really cool guys. Their big thing is they make movies so they can make enough money to make one more.
Yeah, well, that's the way you got to do it.
They don't want to do a big blockbuster. They don't want to
Well, that's like your favorite band. You want your favorite band to be just successful enough that they can keep coming to town.
So a couple of really cool guys. The movie's a lot of fun. It's funny. You know, go drink some beer, go to the movie, and go finish drinking more beer and have a good time.
Excellent.
It's a fun film.
Let me get a couple of these and we'll break and we'll come back. We'll get to Carol in a second. Eli, hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
Eli, what's up, brother?
How much? My boss just told me to call him. It's Dave and Jake. And because I totally got them into your show now, and I think they're freaking hilarious. So.
Okay.
Yeah, they had me call in.
And here you are.
Yes. Oh, man.
How's that working out?
Okay, because I'm doing like ventilation stuff. So.
I don't think you have sufficient ventilation.
Do you want to say hi?
I think you need a little more.
Do you want to say hi to somebody in particular?
Do you want to give a shout out to one of your dogs? Point number two.
Is there a lot of asbestos where you work?
Yes. This is the best call we've had all day. I'm right here. You just take as much time as you need. We're not doing anything.
All right. With, like, internship for CBS, do you have to actually be going to a radio college, or can you just be going to any college?
Is that like clown college?
Yes. Are you going to Hamburger U?
Yes, exactly. I'm going to be the best damn...
BKU.
Oh, chef there.
Are you going to college now, Eli?
No, I'm going to be going to PCC in the winter.
And PCC, that is Portland Community College?
Yeah.
I do believe... Scotty is typing, you can have my job, dude. I do believe that I don't know this for sure, but I think as long as you are taking some kind of a journalism or broadcast-based class, that I think you are probably qualified for an internship. I think.
All right.
What is it you're going to be studying at PCC?
Start thinking about writing, but you know, I can take journalism or one of those useless communications.
That's the spirit. One of those pointless things that exists only to waste my time and money. Well, there you go. So,
It beats doing ventilation.
Yes. Eli, it sounds like you're a man with things to say. So
yeah.
I would suggest getting into radio now.
Yeah, definitely. So now all I have to do is just figure out some way to try to get Jay killed off. So, and then, bam, I'm in.
Okay, there you go. On the killing off Scotty J note, we're probably going to bring the curtain down. Eli, enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir. Thank you for calling, man. There you go. That's Eli. Good God almighty.
That was the best call all day.
And let's get Joel. Joel, you're calling for Sarah Dillon. What's up?
Oh, hey. I wasn't exactly calling to be on the air, but I was just going to let her know that there's a better way to get to Gig Harbor than going over the Tacoma Narrows. So.
Oh, where?
Just go to Highway 101 at Olympia.
Uh-huh.
And go up to Shelton.
How are you, Rick? I'm okay. Good.
Go through Shelton and follow it up
lunch
to Bell Ferret at Bremerton.
That's good. Okay. Coffee.
Yeah. So 101 to Shelton, and then where do you go from Shelton?
Go through Shelton to Highway 3.
Brick DVD last
Highway
night.
3.
To Bell Ferret.
That's all yeah. trailer for you.
No, that's great. That director's comments.
You know, this is thrilling.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah.
Hey, it's thrilling for me.
Yeah, I had to go through that way before, and the Narrows is a total mess. So
beer fest. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, no sweat.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
What? Oh, hello. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Joel. All right, there you go. That's Joel. Let's take a break here. We'll come back around the corner. Brian, Dan, Carol, and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Programmer live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com is here. And like us up with Flash Friday in about 15 minutes. You stay there. Gonna check her out. She's my latest attraction. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. All right, we have to take a... wait, hold, let me find a... All right. We now go to the phones. Brian, you are in Austin, Texas, is that correct?
That's correct.
What? Why are you in Austin, Texas, first of all?
I'm visiting my grandma's 80th birthday. Pretty hip.
All right. Well, happy birthday to her from us. Why are you calling us, sir?
Because I'm looking at Patrice right now.
Patrice from Rockstar Supernova, the last to be booted off. The last to be booted off.
She's talking to a few people right now.
All right.
Regular folks. She's right now, she's kind of hugging up on some guy.
It's so tempting just to have you rush her and just like
happy
grab her.
Happy rusher?
Just to have you... I have
That's
no idea what...
That's the most appropriate thing to do in an airport
right now. Tell her that you voted
right for her.
Tell her you voted for her.
And then scream that you have a gun.
No.
Yeah, that'd be really wise, I think.
What you should do is go up and start crying and say, I voted for you like
totally,
5 million
totally,
times.
Totally.
And screw Delana.
Okay, let's... Okay, you should... Totally.
Okay, she just walked off and I'm like stalking her right now, so one sec.
All right, you should...
Hey, I did it to Michael Ian Black. They like it.
Okay, what?
Now she's with a group of people.
Okay, hold on. What's the best way to get her on the air?
Are you asking me?
We're sort of brainstorming out loud here.
Weren't her and Storm pretty tight?
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes,
say we're friends of Storm.
Okay, say that. Say, hey, I'm on the phone with you know, a radio station. They're really good, from Portland, Oregon.
So
Storm Large Country.
Storm was going to be on the show.
But,
show.
And her, you know...
Shoot, my ride is here, but...
They can wait.
Oh, that your ride will hold on for a second.
Oh, wait, no, man, because if I get on my ride, then you guys aren't going to get your interview. So one sec.
Thank you. That's the spirit. That's what I'm talking about.
That is the spirit, you know.
Hey, Patrice, I've got a Portland radio station right now that loves you, and they'd love to talk to you.
Okay, one sec.
Thank you.
Oh. Awesome.
Got balls
Patrice, I have a Portland radio show that would love to speak to you. Big Storm supporter. Would you be in to speak with them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. One sec.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, Patrice.
What's happening?
How are you, Patrice?
Feeling great.
Hey.
Oh, you did so good this last week. You're so sad when you got knocked off.
Really quick, I'll tell you, we're a Portland radio station, AM 970, which is, you know, obviously a Storm Large Country, but we're big fans of you as well. We loved your song the other night.
Thank Thank you so much. I'm not surprised that you guys are fans of me, too, because Storm and I got along famously.
Yeah.
She's my favorite person still there at the mansion, and we already had mutual friends before but had never met, and she's killer, and I love her, and I'll be pulling for her.
She said the same about you.
I'm going to say this about the show. Storm announced to the Portland audience on this radio show that she was doing Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah, and she has complimented you a lot when she talks to us. She said that you are a great performer. She had a lot of respect for what you were doing there.
That's awesome. I miss her a lot.
So what is next for Patrice Pike? Can you say? Do you know? Or are you just going to go home and just sort of de-stress for a while?
Well, the great thing for me, and actually Storm and I talked about it a lot, because she's got to get home at some point and get on the fast track. Maybe she'll win. That'll be great. If she doesn't, I love her music. And for me, I was in the middle of finishing my new record I've been working on for 2 years. It's ready to go now, and it comes out in the middle of October, so I'm hitting the ground running. I come home, play ACL Festival in a few weeks, and then bam, my record comes out, and I'm on.
Right on. Do you have a website or something?
Yeah, it's patricepike.com, and of course I have a MySpace site, and you can pre-order my record, and it's called Unraveling. And well, I just appreciate you guys talking to me. That's cool.
Are you going to tour?
Oh, no.
Are you going to tour a little bit?
Oh, I'm definitely going to tour. That's all I do. I've never had any other job.
Excellent. Right on. To come to Portland.
And I just, real quickly, not asking you to reveal anything, but do you have a prediction for who does end up kind of making it all the way in this thing?
Man, it's really hard to wrap your head around what's going on out there. You know, there's right turns, left turns. They're keeping a pretty good poker face. You know, obviously there are a couple of front runners. I'm not convinced that the band has a unified, you know, opinion on who they want in the band. And I just hope that they pick someone who's really, really creative and out of the box. And definitely Storm and Lucas are both those people.
Those are our two.
More than anyone else there.
Very cool.
Those are the two that we are, well, of course, Storm firsthand.
We're sort of united in an anti-Delana front here, but we're big fans of Lucas and Storm, so.
I'm going to take the fifth on that one.
Ah, that's what we're talking about. All right, well, Patrice, you rock. Portland thinks you're great. And congratulations on making as big a splash as you did. And congratulations on your upcoming album. We'll be looking for it.
Thanks, guys. I'll
Thank
see you in Portland.
Thank you there, Patrice Pike,
bye-bye.
Rockstar Supernova. Let's see if she puts Brian back on the phone here. And
no.
No.
Oh, my God, that was so fantastic. Cool.
But we didn't get to thank Brian.
Oh. That was outstanding.
Well, he'll call. I'm sure Brian will call back or he'll email us. That was so great. And so not only thanks to Brian in Austin, first of all, it's not really about how great we are, although clearly the answer is that we're fantastic.
It's the listeners.
It's the people.
Here's the thing,
it
though.
Is.
How
Brian
great are the people?
Brian is in the Austin, Texas airport.
In Texas.
He sees Patrice Pike, and he calls...
What is his first thought?
He calls Rick.
His first thought is this show in Portland.
Yeah. And if we hadn't extended our show by 6 minutes, we would have missed that.
I'm talking about. Also,
totally.
Thank you to Scotty J, by the way, who recognized the genius, saw the potential, ran. He's like, you've got to talk to this guy. He's staring at Patrice Pike.
Interrupting the staff meeting.
Totally. So,
oh, Scotty J, you rolled.
That is yet another reason it's all about the people. Best audience ever.
Oh, and I love how she said she takes the fifth with Delana.
Seriously, we're going to excerpt that and put that on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. Right.
Excellent. Cool. Scott Daly.
Yes, sir.
Pimp Whore.
Hey, filmfeverradio.com. Our new show will be up today, and we are about 5:30 or so. We taped last night. And coming in September, we're going to start a monthly series of drunken film commentaries.
And that's different from your normal film commentaries.
Well, this is where I should sit down and watch a movie and have.
Are you going to make
a
podcasting kind of a
yes,
thing?
Yes.
Oh, exactly. I wish you would have been taping during Snakes
exactly.
on a Plane.
Totally.
But we're gonna start in September. We're gonna start with Strange Brew, and Sarah, you're more than welcome to come and join us, as is Rick. But we're gonna start a monthly. We're gonna call it our Film Fever Radio Drunken DVD Commentary series.
Okay, I'm totally gonna. You gotta let me do one of those.
Oh, you're dude. Open invitation.
Okay,
time.
Yeah.
So yeah, filmfeverradio.com.
These are gonna be
choir.
Classic films.
Yeah, we're gonna do. Okay, here's the rundown for the rest of the year. We're gonna do Strange Brew in September. In October, we're doing Evil Dead 2.
Right.
In November, we're doing Con!
Okay.
And Christmas, of course, our favorite Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard.
I'm all over that. I call Die Hard.
Done.
Okay,
so
fantastic.
Yeah, so coming up, we're doing that. Plus, we had a great episode today where we're all about Beer Fest and our insane interview with the guys from Broken Lizard. So good
Very
times
cool.
ahead at filmfeverradio.com.
Is Brian back?
No, this is Chris, but let me read a couple emails here. Rick, just wrap these up here. We get to the end. Really? Okay, never mind. Well, this email has to wait till Monday. Now, there's just some really interesting emails coming in about the... Okay, but I got to put that Patrice thing up this weekend. All right. Let us welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good.
All right. I know that I suck. There's like several things I didn't get to.
But I want to say this. I think that because we got an impromptu interview with Patrice Pike today, that should lose Rick at least 3 push-ups.
And because I have played through the pain this week.
That's right.
A lesser man would have stayed.
You have. It's
automatically
true.
3 off the top.
Well, I don't know what missing a lot. You got to the double penis watch, the religious nutcase watch, Scott Daly's there, and we got the money-saving tips. The only thing we didn't get to was the top 5.
Ah.
And I definitely agree that the Patrice Pike impromptu interview should wash
all right,
out.
So,
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So we're going to take 3 off?
Yes, sure. Thank you, sir. That's mighty Christian of you. All right.
That'll put you at 46, my friend.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy your weekend. Chris, we'll talk to you on Monday, man.
At 11.
All right, there you go. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. I forgot to pimp that today.
Very nice.
So as of Monday, don't forget, it becomes a 4-hour radio program, much to everyone's horror. Stephanie Miller goes 6 to 10. Jim Cramer's Real Money goes assistant from 10 to 11. And then this program 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Fantastic.
Of Monday. Let's see. Scotty, am I... Scotty says, put Dan on hold till Monday. Well, okay. And he'll be the first caller. All right, well, whatever. Well, tell Dan to call us on Monday, then. Apparently, Dan has something good.
Call us Monday, Dan.
Call us Monday, Dan. Yeah, no, as Rush Limbaugh would say, no time to be fair to another caller. All right, how long do we have here? Like a minute? Ah, and we're
there
starting.
There it is.
All right, the Rick Emerson Show. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, and everybody else we talked to this week. We want to thank Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And
thank you,
Brian
sir.
In Austin and Patrice Pike. The website there is Patrice Pike. .com. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J. So much more than an intern, especially on a day like today. Well done, Scotty J. And, of course, manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. Like us in about 30 seconds. Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11. Tim Nasium tomorrow, 4 to 6 with Tim Savage. We'll see y'all Monday at 11 a.m. Don't let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. See y'all Monday. Bye.